everybody. Let me just turn off the cell. Beshus HaRav, Maori Shlita. It's great. It gives me great pleasure to come to the yeshiva, beautiful yeshiva. Your Rosh Yeshiva and I learned in same Chevra in Shalbim many, many years ago. So it's a great pleasure of mine to come here and speak. I wanted to speak about a foundation, I believe, that really can permeate someone's whole personality and really shape and form someone into a real Ben Torah and into a real mensch that can develop into becoming a Talmud Chacham. And, you know, every morning, you said this morning in Rabbi Shmuel Omer, there are 13 midos, she'atorah nidrasha behem. And one of them is called a binyan av. What is a binyan av? Binyan av is you take a din and you expand it to kol Torah kulu. So I think Bez Hashem, what we'll speak about today is a midah that if you are become an expert in this particular midah, it will permeate your whole personality and really shape you into a Ben Torah and a Talmud Chacham. As Rav Aharon Soloveitchik Zatzal would always tell us, kol Talmud Chacham she'ein bo deya, a Talmud Chacham that doesn't have midas, nevela tova himenu, a carcass is better than him. The Rosh Kolol in Pseik Shlita once pointed out that the sixth Pirkei Avos, which are brises, lists off 48 kinyanim of how to be kona the Torah. And if you don't take those kinyanim seriously, it could be when you engage in Talmud Torah, you could be stealing. Because a kinyan is a real type of concept. And that if you take an object without being kona, that's gezel. And it's kedai to look through those 48 kinyanim and to inculcate of how I'm supposed to act in my life in order that when we engage in Torah, you have to match your learning and your lumdus with your midas. So the Chovas Alevavos, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal would quote this Chovas Alevavos quite often, that the foundation of all midas is Hakaras HaTov. The ability to be Makir Tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and your parents, your Rebbeim, your Rosh Yeshiva, for everything that Hashem has showered on you and has given to you, the ability to get up in the morning and breathe and walk and be able to learn and eat and go to the restroom. We have to be makir tov to people that help us. And we have to be able to roll the words thank you off our tongues and communicate that in a sincere way and not in a manner in which it is, one could assume, oh, I thought it was self-understood and therefore I didn't need to say it. You know, there are many boys your age in America never heard of yeshiva, Jewish boys. When you go home from learning this year, you should thank your parents and you should communicate. And when you say it, you need to say it sincerely. And that's the foundation, he claimed, of all midas, says the Chovas HaLevavos. So I want to speak about many chidushim that flow from this concept of Hakaras HaTov. Firstly, let's begin. If you ever thought about the Hebrew word for Hakaras HaTov, is called Yehudi. The term for a Jew. What is the term for a Jew, rather? Yehudi. What does Yehudi mean? From the root word hodah, to give, to admit. Let's say, if you're learning, let's say the dinim of Moda B'Miksah. Someone says, you owe $100. And I say, yes, I owe the money, but I only owe 50. I have to take a shvu on the second 50. But I was Moda that I owe the $50. When you admit to something, you acknowledge something. You acknowledge, when you thank someone, you acknowledge someone assisted you and helped you. And it was ozer you. And by thanking a person, that's the same thing as admitting. And that, every time you say thank you, you are in essence being mekayim what it means to be a Yehudi. Which is a remarkable thing. There could have been many other different words that we could have used as a term for being a Jew. But we find it means Yehuda. Yehuda means to give thanks. Gemara has in Megillah that it's also to deny idolatry, but in a sense, Yehudi is giving gratitude to Hashem for creating the world. He's the only God in the universe. He's the Ribon Shel Olam, the master of the universe, and therefore, you're being denying Avodah Zarah at the same time acknowledging the greatness of God. When you say thank you, that's a phenomenal thing. So the first chiddush we want to point out by Hakaras HaTov is the actual meaning of the term Yehudi means to give thanks, which speaks volumes about the topic that we're discussing. That's number one. Number two, I once heard many, many years ago from an English professor in NYU, a big Talmud Chacham, Professor Wagerlander. He retired. And he once pointed out that the Medrash Tanchuma writes on the Pusik in the end of Parshas Vayeshev, after the butler is very depressed in jail and he's very saddened by his state, Yosef HaTzadik comes and is mechazik him and says that things will be all right. He's released from prison, and what does the Torah HaKadoshah say? V'lo zachar Yosef ishkacheyu. Not only did he not remember Yosef, but he forgot him. What's the emphasis of the Torah? Not remembering and forgetting is synonymous. Mikan writes the Medrash Tanchuma that someone who's a kafui tov, someone who's an ingrate, is labeled kapikairis. You can know shas and poskim, but if you do not have the element of gratitude and the ability to say thanks and be gracious, but rather you're an ingrate, then you're dino kapikairis. You can't see that the person's built betzalom lakim, and Hashem orchestrated a good thing for you through this person, and you can't say thank you, then your learning and davening is very, very questionable. And therefore, your dino kapikairis. It's a tremendous chiddush. But that's how important this mita of Hakaras HaTov is. Number three, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu refuses to perform the first three makos. Hashem asks him to strike the water for blood to emerge, then to strike the water so the frogs can come out of the lakes and swamps. He says, I can't do it because I was born out of the water. Hakaras HaTov applies even to inanimate objects. A member of Schechter told us from the Rav Zatzal, the Gemara has in Bechayrus and Davov, that anything that comes from Tahor, Yotzi Min HaTahor is Tahor. Yotzi Min HaKadosh is Kadosh. Hashem by definition is holy. He created everything in the world. That means everything in the world has some level of Kedusha. Even this table, this shtender. Now, that's the beauty of the bracha that we say when Motzi Shabbos is Yontif. Hamavdol ben Kodesh leKodesh. Some Kedushas are more Kal, some Kedushas are more Chamor. But the bottom line is that everything in this world has some degree of Kedusha. And therefore, even inanimate objects, Moshe Rabbeinu refuses to perform Kinim, to strike the ground, because the ground assisted him when he killed the Mitzri, to bury the Mitzri in the ground. There's a very interesting story I once heard about Rav Gusman Zatzal. Rav Gusman was a great Rosh Yeshiva, who was the head of the Yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva Netzach Yisrael, Rehov Ramban. Many fellows used to learn there, Ben Ezmanim, still do, it's a very fine Yeshiva, and he was the youngest dying Bizman Reb Chaim Moser in Vilna. And when the Nazis came to pillage Vilna, he hid in the bushes for 8 hours. They didn't find him. Then later on he went to America, then he made Aliyah, started the yeshiva. Until his older age, he insisted on watering the bushes every morning. And the Talmidim said, Rebbe, let us do it. And he said, no. He insisted he has a debt of gratitude to bushes for the rest of his life. This concept applies even to inanimate objects. In a sense, if you wouldn't show the proper recognition for an inanimate object, well, Hashem obviously put that inanimate object to help you out. So your lack of a Hakaras HaTov to it, in a sense, indirectly, would be a lack of a Hakaras HaTov to the Eibishter, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the third Kiddush. Number four, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz Zatzal, the great Rosh Yeshiva, the Mir, points out a phenomenal, phenomenal concept. He says, with the meat of a Hakaras HaTov, you are even allowed to reinterpret Dvar Hashem. If Hashem comes to you and tells you walk across the street or eat an ice cream cone, you do it. If Hashem would even tell you to be angry, you would do it. If Hashem would tell you to be a Baal Gaiva, you would do it. Now, Kas and Gaiva, we know the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deis, you have to go to an extreme. Right? The Rambam writes in general, when it comes to Midos, you should follow the Shvil HaZav, the golden median. Find a happy balance. Don't be an extremist. If your personality tends to a little bit this way, a little bit too much regarding meat, you got to find a happy medium. If your personality goes a little bit to the right, you got to move it to the left. If you go a little bit to the left, you got to move it to the right. When it comes to Kass and Gaiva, he says you have to go to an extreme. You have to have, of course, self-esteem, Shmini Shebishminis, but Kass and Gaiva, you have to eradicate almost from your personality. Certainly Kass and Gaiva, almost completely. And therefore, even if Hashem would tell you to do those two, you would do it. But when it comes to, if Hashem would tell you to be an ingrate, it's impossible. You don't listen. You cannot listen. You mamish can't listen. What's the raya? In Parshas Matos, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to obliterate Midian off the face of the earth. And what does he do? Psukim say. He appoints Pinchas as general to lead them in war against Midian. Now Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to do it, and he shells it out on someone else. What's the pshat? Moshe Rabbeinu says to himself, this is impossible. Here he grew up in Midian. He matured into to be the Manig Yisrael. And they gave him a great opportunity, and he took it. And now he's asked to obliterate the whole nation of Midian? That's Ein Lecha Kafui Tov Gedola Mizu. Talk about being an ingrate. So Moshe Rabbeinu stands on his head and says, it cannot be that Hashem meant me to destroy Midian, but rather I should see to it that it gets done. Because when it comes to Hakaras HaTov, it's impossible that Hashem would tell you to be an ingrate. Whereas we don't find that by any other midah. That speaks so strongly about this midah. And therefore we never find Hashem got angry at Moshe Rabbeinu for this, that he shelled it out on Pinchas, because that's what Hashem meant. It's the only midah that we find this. Number five, Al pi halacha. If someone does you a tova b'shogeg inadvertently, it could be even intended on hurting you. And God forbid you should never have that, but it happens sometimes. A person intended on hurting you, and it turned out for the good. You are mechuyev al pi din to thank him, as long as he won't get angry at you. If he's gonna punch you in the face or yell at you, then obviously don't do it. But if the opportunity emerges or arrives later in life, then you should thank him. What's the mucker? When Moshe Rabbeinu leaves Mitzrayim, he comes to Midian at the well. The Bnos Yisro are there at the well, and they're being abused by these other rough guys. Moshe Rabbeinu comes and helps them and saves them. And what do they say to their Abba Yisro? Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu. An Egyptian man has saved us. And the Medrash Rabbah interprets differently and says that Moshe Rabbeinu chimed in and said, don't thank me, but thank the Ish Mitzri that I killed in Mitzrayim, that caused me to flee and come to this well in Midian. Mashallah davar daima. There was a wild donkey that bit someone, and he had a lot of gangrene getting in the cut. It was getting poison in going in his cut. He runs to the lake and dunks himself in there to clean out the cut, and he sees a baby drowning, and he saves the baby. And the family says, sir, what can we do to reward you? You saved our baby. And he says, don't thank me, but thank the wild donkey. So you see, al pidin, if Hashem orchestrates something good for you, even if the guy intended on hurting you, and it can happen sometimes, you're mechuyev if the opportunity occurs to say thank you to him, al pidin. That's the fifth chiddush we have by Hakaras HaTov. Number six. Where are the two occurrences in all of Tanakh where there's Tchias HaMesim? You guys tell me. Eliyahu HaNavi, excellent. And where else? Elisha HaNavi, very excellent. We don't have it in Chamish Yichum Shei Torah. And the story with the dry bones with Yechezkel, according to one day in Sanhedrin, was a mashal. So if you look at that story, what gave Eliyahu HaNavi? Those are one of the three maftechos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. The Gemara has in Tainis. The three maftechas are childbirth, Geshem, and Tchias HaMesim. What happened with Eliyahu HaNavi and Elisha HaNavi that gave him this miraculous strength to do Tchiyas HaMesim, to revive the dead. The pshat is, if you look in the psukim, they had nowhere to go, Eliyahu HaNavi and Elisha HaNavi. They had nothing to eat, drink, they had no lodging, nowhere, nothing. These two families opened their homes and were so hospitable to Eliyahu HaNavi and Elisha HaNavi. They were such, of course, they were great tzaddikim, these two Nevi'im, and they were so pure and pristine in their feelings, they felt such an outpouring of gratitude to these two families, so pure. But this mitzvah of Akar Satov, unlike any other mitzvah, not Anovi, not being patient, but Akar Satov, in this medium, Hashem gave them the koyach to be Mechayim Eisen. With no other mitzvah do we find this. Amazing. The foundation of all mitzvahs, the Binyanav. Number 7. The Avudrom writes, what is the purpose of Chazar Shashatz? Rav Soloveitchik has a big Kiddush. Poshup Shat is to Mimotzi, someone who doesn't know how to daven. Motzi Sheino Baki. Rav Soloveitchik has his Tfilah Hatzibor. Not just a private tefillah, but a communal tefillah. That's why he always kept his feet together during Chazar Shashatz, and he didn't answer Baruch Aruch Shemo, because anytime someone's motzi you in a bracha by Kiddush V'Avdolo, you don't say Baruch Aruch Shemo. According to the Noah of Yehuda, it's a hefsek. Ksav Sofer argued. Ksav Sofer said from his father, the Chazam Sofer, that he never noticed that his father ever said not to say Baruch Aruch Shemo. So it's a machlokes. Whenever everyone's being motzi you in a bracha, you should never say Baruch Aruch Shemo. To be machmer for the Dogel Mervava. The note of Yehuda. That's Chazar Shashatz. What's the one bracha, though, that the Tzibor says in Chazar Shashatz? Modim. We say Modim D'Rabbanan. It's a Gemara in Sota. Tosis in bracha says not, doesn't appear anywhere in Shas. Marsha says, what are you talking about? It's a Gemara in Sota. Right? Why is it when it comes to Modim that we say? Why? Because when it comes to Modim, thanks, Hakaras HaTov, you cannot fulfill it through shlichus, through agency. It's like the Tosis Rid writes in Kedushin in the second parak, it's a mitzvah shebeguf. A mitzvah shebeguf lo nitan b'shlichus. I can't ask someone to put tefillin on. I can't ask you to put tefillin on my behalf. It's a mitzvah shebeguf. Thanking is a very personal thing. And it cannot be fulfilled through shlichus. This is the koyach of Hakaras HaTov. Okay? This is the koyach of Hakaras HaTov. That's the seventh chiddush that we want to point out. Number 8. And these are very kedai to remember. I'm to chazer it over. I try to chazer it over all the time. You chazer over, you'll end up doing it. You don't chazer over something, you don't end up doing it. That's why you have to do chazar, not only to know it, but also to implement it practically. The Torah HaKadosh writes, Rashi has, when Avraham Avinu went to Mitzrayim, he went to one-star hotels. Then he became very wealthy. And on his way back, he went to the same one-star hotels, Rashi writes. And the Ksav Sofer says, what do you see from this? When you're poor, and when you needed help in life, and there were those there for you, when that situation leaves you and you become better or wealthier or things calm down and things are going well for you, you must remember the people that helped you and never forget it. Now, it's usher for me to say, oh, you remember the time when you were having difficulty and I helped you out? That's usher for me to do. That's called onas dvarim. What's onas dvarim? I'm not allowed to ask about tshuva. Oh, how were the quarter pounders? How were the quarter pounders? How were the cheeseburgers? You know, you're not allowed to remind him because it'll make him feel bad. But if he is required, doesn't have to be Baal Tshuva, but a fellow that you helped, you should never forget to thank him. You should go over to him and say, you know what? I want to thank you for the times. Not every second you have to. But, you know, if you haven't seen him in a while, you could say, you know, I always remember how you helped me when I needed help and you were there for me. And you have to communicate that, and you can't say, oh, it was self-understood. And many times, psychologically, it happens the opposite, because a person runs away from that person because it makes them remember their difficult time, and sometimes even The person might even turn on you. Person you helped out, and it comes out later in life that psychologically turns on you and he doesn't do good things to you because it's uncomfortable for him to see you because you've helped him. Not only, of course, is that usher to do, but you must gather up enough courage and strength to say, you know what, thank you, and I realize how you helped me. So that's the eighth chiddush you have. Number nine. You know, in secular society, not only in secular society, it seeps into us also sometimes. Many people think that there's a notion of reciprocating. Once I've helped you, and then you help me back, it's even Steven, and we're done. And there's nothing really to talk about anymore. We move on. You know who had that philosophy? Amon Moav. Amon Moav. Lot escorted Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was told by Og Melech HaBashan that he was captured in the War of the Five and Four Kings. And Avram Avinu returns the favor and does what? And saves him. Later on in Sefer Dvarim, we want to cross into Eretz Yisrael. We can't even get bread and water for them. We offer to pay. Their philosophy is, oh, we're even Stephen. Right? Lot was the father of Amon Moav, we know. We're even Stephen. We move on. We don't want to have anything to do with you. You can't even pass through. We don't even want your money to do it. A ben Torah tamachocham, there's no concept of reciprocating in this notion of even Stephen. Of course you have to reciprocate. But once you reciprocate, it's not done. There's no statute of limitations when it comes to Akaras HaTov. Like statute of limitations in civil law, right? 5 years, 10 years, whatever it might be. When it comes to Akaras HaTov, it's a din. It's a din that's everlasting. I think we're up to number 10. 9 or 10, I forgot. 10. Do you know the Ramban asks, why did Hashem punish the Mitzrim? It was decreed in Bris Ben HaBasarim. It was decreed in Bris Ben HaBasarim that we would go to Mitzrayim. So why were they punished? One teretz, the Ramban says, Beparach. They gave us hard labor. They didn't have to do that. Okay, we had to be there, but they didn't have to torture us. Second teretz, says the Ramban, is as follows. The Ramban writes that Yosef HaTzadik took this country that was a low economy, terrible straits, and he made them the wealthiest country in the world. Can you imagine the lack of Akaras HaTov that after what Yosef did for him, then they turn around and do this? And Hashem says, this is unacceptable. This is not to be tolerated. That such a country act like this? And therefore, Mitzrayim was obliterated. Because that was on a public level, lack of Akaras HaTov, and Kafui Tov on a Tziburi level, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said is not acceptable. And therefore, they are punished so severely by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number 11, the Medrash Rabba writes that Moshe Rabbeinu served as the waiter for his father-in-law Yisroel. And the Gemara has in the end of Zvachim that Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of a melech. Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of a melech. We know the Gemara writes in Kedusha that melech shemachal kvodo ain't kvodo machal. Shenemar som tasim alecha melech shetei maso alecha. You must instill fear in the Jewish people. You can't be mocking your kavod. Tosis has an avodah zara, and the Rav Zatzal said the same beer, that the kavod that you give to a melech is not his own personal kavod. It's kavod of Klal Yisrael, so he doesn't have bailus on his kavod, that he could be mochel. A parent, a rebbe, a nasi, the Sanhedrin could be mocha on the kavod, but not a what? Not a melech. How could Moshe Rabbeinu serve as a waiter? So the Maknin is Akdamah to Sefer and Kedushin writes, even though he had a din melech, but this is before they got to Eretz Yisrael. When they got there, it's so shloshim mitzvahs nistavu yisroel b'chnisos and laretz. The Gemara has in the second Pirkei Sanhedrin. Limnos lam melech, lahach rezar shalomolik, v'livnos lam beis ha-mechira. That din that he can't be mochel kavod only is implemented when they got there, it's Israel. This is before they got there, it's Israel. So he had a din melech, but he could be mochel on his kavod. That's the makna. But other gedolei achronim say that this wasn't a Mechilas Kavod. This was Menschlichkeit. This was Hakarsa Tov. The Melech is supposed to be our model. He's got to be a mensch. He's got to be the best mensch. And what Yisro did for Moshe Rabbeinu mandated that Moshe Rabbeinu be his waiter. And therefore, it wasn't a Mechilas Kavod. It was Hakarsa Tov. And the Melech, out of more than anyone else in Klal Yisrael, has to be the biggest mensch and the biggest Makar Tov. And that's why it wasn't a stira, wasn't Mechilas Kvodo. And if you ask me what the marker of this is, the pashtus of Hakaras HaTov is Bikurim. Bikurim. I heard from, in the name of our friend once, Shlita, that he's pointed out that it says the world is created Bishvil Rashis. Rashis is a hint to Bikurim. Meaning that the whole world was created for what? For Bikurim? The whole world was created for Hakaras HaTov. Hashem created this world that we should be Makar Tov. So the pashtus is the mitzvah Bikurim is the marker for Hakaras HaTov, but Refrain Shlita added this on. This is really tremendous midah that we have to work on. These 11, 12 points, let's chazer them over real quickly. Number one, we said it's the meaning of Yehudi. Number two, it means you're an ingrate. It can easily not be kairis. Number three, it applies to even inanimate objects. Number four, it can allow you to reinterpret Dvar Hashem so you won't be an ingrate. Number five, even if a guy does you tova b'shogig, you got to do it. Number six, it can allow you to mechias ameisen, to do tchias ameisen. Number seven, we do it in chazor shashatz. We have to say modim. It's not yotzi through shlichus. Number eight, there's no concept of reciprocating, meaning you should reciprocate, but there's no statute of limitations. You always have to be makar tov. Number nine, even when you're in a different state in life, you have to makar the people that helped you. Number 10, on a public level, it's unacceptable to Hashem to be a kafri tov. That's why the Mitzrayim was punished so much. And number 12, Moshe Rabbeinu as a din melech has to be the model makar tov. The makar is bikurim. So I want to just go back to what we started and said that a Talmud Chacham she'ein bo deyer rabar and tzol. The Tzal would always tell us, Nevela Tova Himena. We have to work on these midas and be able to match our lumdus and development and learning with our midos. And if we work in a Karsa Tov, and I think it's the case that in my experience in life, that you'll never meet a fellow who's a real Makar Tov and does it sincerely. And I remember when we moved to Passaic, the moving company, I kept thanking the head of the moving company. He wasn't Jewish. And he turned around to me towards the end of the day and he said, Rabbi, you know, you don't have to thank me so much. So I said, I thought to myself, I can interpret it one of two ways. He's appreciative, very appreciative, I keep thanking him. But also, maybe he's giving me a little musser. Maybe I don't mean it sincerely. You have to say the word thank you, but you got to mean it sincerely. By the fact I kept repeating it, maybe I didn't mean it sincerely. So we have to mean it sincerely. And we have to match our learning with our midas and really combine the two. They're really inextricably linked. It's not like outside the base medrash there's Ben Adam L'Chavero. And here it's Ben Adam L'Makom. They're inextricably linked. So, I want to give you guys a bracha that you should have great atzlacha and Bez Hashem, learn stark with your Rosh Yeshiva Shlita. There's a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. And more importantly, I say he matches that with his midas and all the Rebbeim. It's such a beautiful yeshiva. I've heard tremendous things about the yeshiva. And a lev Torah. As a lev, a good lev. Lev tov is the marker. You have to have a karsa tov. And I wish you guys great atzlach. I hope I'll see you in Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, which we're all talmidim of the Rav Zatzal, who quoted this Chovas HaLevavos, that a karsa tov is the ikker. And we should learn together with great hasmada. And Bez Hashem, the Mashiach should come, b'meir v'yameinu. Thank you. You had a question, Kasha, before? Yeah, you can come up with that. Okay.